I've got some bad news for you and some good news. The bad news is I have a terrible cold. The good news is I'm not going to cheat you. I'm going to preach my whole sermon. Why are you laughing? We really appreciate the music that Phil produces for us. The young people were great. I guess the deacons thought they were going to stay for the service. Actually, they were here at the 8 o'clock service, 8:15 service. But we just have such a blessing in the music that we have here at Central, and we're grateful for it. Now, if you'll turn in your Bibles, please. To save my voice, I'm not going to read all the scripture that's printed in the bulletin. I'm going to read beginning at verse 12 of Philippians chapter 3. Philippians 3 beginning at verse 12. We believe that the Bible is the only infallible rule to guide us in our faith and in our practice. Therefore, to know what to believe and how to act, we have to go to God's Word. Listen attentively then to hear what God may be saying to you. As the scripture begins, Paul has told us how high he had climbed in Jewish circles and how much he had achieved and how important he was. But he said, whatever gain I had, I counted as loss for the sake of Christ. Then he goes on to tell how Jesus saved him and gave him eternal life. And he's looking forward to the day of resurrection. Then he says in verse 12, not that I have already obtained this or am already perfect, but I press on to make it my own because Christ Jesus has made me his own. Brethren, I do not consider that I have made it my own. That is, I haven't arrived yet. But one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind, that is dealing with my past adequately, and straining forward to what lies ahead, anticipating the future, I press on. I press on toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Let those of us who are mature be thus minded, and if in anything you are otherwise minded, God will reveal that also to you. Only let us hold true to what we have attained. Our meditation today is another in our series on Let the Fire Fall, which is, of course, about the Holy Spirit. Our meditation today is entitled Burning the Bridges Behind Us. Now, in your bulletin is printed what is supposed to be the text for today. It is not the text for today. When the secretary has called in the information to the printers, they said, oh, we have one of your Bibles. We'll take the text out of there and print it up. I know you recognize that the text they have printed is not from Philippians 3, 13, and 14. I know you recognize that is from Colossians 3, 13, and 14. Our text is not the one printed, but this. But one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and straining forward to what lies ahead, I press on toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. May God bless to us this reading from His holy word, and to His name be praise and glory forever and ever. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, let us pray. Lord, it's terrible having to listen to somebody talk who's got a bad cold. I pray that they won't hear me at all today. I pray instead that the Holy Spirit will be speaking so loudly that I'll be drowned out and all that they'll hear will be you talking straight to their hearts. We ask that in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, I'd like to suggest to you this morning that there are two basic anxieties that dominate our life, our lives. And the first anxiety that dominates is the anxiety about the past. The past is unchangeable. There are parts of it we would very much like to go back and change, but the fact is we are stuck with our past. Isn't that true in your life? It certainly is in mine. In the mornings when I'm shaving, and for some reason that seems to be a time when I do a lot of reminiscing. I think all of us probably have some time of the day that is a time of reminiscence, and that's when I do it. I think about things that have happened in the past. And for some strange reason, during those times, the things I seem to be remembering are things that I'm ashamed of, things I wish I could forget and didn't think about, things I wish had never happened, things that embarrass me. And sometimes as I'm reliving these things so intently, I'll just groan out loud. And Sydney will say, "Oh, did you cut yourself?" And I have to say, "No. But actually, I have cut myself. I've cut my heart on an old memory. I've slashed my soul. I've wounded my conscience. I've ripped open an old wound. And the remembrance of things past have left my soul blooded and hurt." Do you ever do that? Do you ever find yourself remembering something that happened in the past and you just wish you could go back and change it? Maybe it's some sin you've committed. Maybe it's something you've done to somebody that you wish you could undo. And maybe it's something that happened or something you said that you wish you could recall. Maybe it's something you wish you had done differently, but now you can never do it. In my senior year in high school, I was on the football team. And in one game, when the opposition team kicked off, I was the one who received the ball. And I ran through the entire team until only one person was left in front of me. The people were on their feet cheering, and our cheerleaders were over here jumping up and down, and I felt pretty big. Boy, look at me. And that one remaining player was a small person, and I decided I'd show how good I was and run over him. He knocked me on my big fat orthodoxy. All my life, I've relived that a thousand times, thinking, boy, if I just sidestepped it, I could have made that touch. I would have been the hero. But I can't go back and change that ending. Do you have such moments in your life that you wish you could redo or relive? But the fact is, you and I are stuck with our past. It's impossible to go back and change a single thing. You remember how the poet put it, Omar Khayyam? The moving finger writes, and having writ moves on, nor all your piety nor wit can lure it back to cancel half a line, nor all your tears wash out a word of it. Yes, we're the victims of our past. We're chained to our past. And we can never go back and change a moment of it. But not only are we anxious about the past, we're also anxious in the face of an unpredictable future. Would you like to control your future? Would you like to be able to control what's going to happen to you in the days and the weeks and the years ahead? But the fact is, you cannot bring your destiny under your management. Is it true for you that you long for some control over what's going to happen in your life? Can you control the fact that a loved one may become ill and die? Can you determine whether or not things are going to turn out the way you want them to? Can you prevent it if a husband loses his job? Can you stop it if a wife begins to have emotional problems? No, we can't control the future. So it is that all of us have these two basic longings. We long to alter a painful past, and we yearn to control a threatening future. But the fact is, God offers us two answers to these deep anxieties. See how it works. First of all, God recreates our past by forgiving our past. Isn't that the wonderful, incredible promise of the Bible? The Bible says God will remember our sins no more. The Bible says that He blots out our transgressions. The Bible says that He removes our sins as far as the east is from the west. Is your slate clean this morning? It ought to be. It ought to be. There's no reason for it not to be. That's the incredible meaning of the cross of Jesus Christ. Though our sins be as scarlet, when washed in His precious blood, they shall become as white as snow. Wasn't that what we were singing about in the hymn, in the middle hymn? A hymn whose theme is taken from the Psalms. Wash me whiter than snow. Incidentally, you'll be interested to know that when Phil Rowland was a young boy and one Sunday at church, he went forward to give his life to Jesus Christ as that song was being sung. Maybe you're not aware of it, but if you take some red cellophane paper and you look through it at a red object, that red object will appear to be white. That's what God does with our scarlet sins. He sees them through the blood of Jesus Christ. And when He does that, He sees them as white as snow. Wash me whiter than snow. You know, when we begin the worship service each Sunday, we have the first prayer of the morning. We call it the prayer of adoration, confession, and assurance of pardon. And the first prayer rightly begins by praising and adoring the God of the universe. But right away, it moves immediately to confessing that we are not anything like God. We're sinners. We're not worthy to stand in the presence of the Lord. But then just as immediately, the prayer moves on to the assurance to tell us that if we love God and believe in Jesus, our sins are forgiven. Whiter than snow, God just burns those bridges behind us. Well, that's an incredible thing to know. God changes our past. He recreates it. He forgives what has happened to us that is contrary to His will for our lives. And I don't know about you, but oh, I need that. I need to be forgiven. I need to have my past, even yesterday, recreated and forgiven. So that's what God does about our anxieties about the past. He forgives it. But the second thing God does is this. God takes away the threat of the future. God controls our future by making promises to us. And not only does He make promises to us about our future, He keeps those promises. He's a promise maker and He's a promise keeper. So we don't have to worry about the pangs of fear for tomorrow. We don't have to be anxious about tomorrow. Take no thought for tomorrow, He said. We don't have to be anxious about the future. Why? For the simple reason, God has secured our future. That's what Paul was saying in our scripture this morning. We don't have to worry about death. God, through the resurrection of Jesus, has made us a promise, and He secured our future. Your future is secured. You don't have to be afraid of tomorrow. Jesus has promised, lo, I am with you always. God's promise is that, yea, though we walk through the valley of the shadow of death, we need fear no evil, for He is with us. God's promise that is that He will make all things, even the worst things, turn out for our good. Is a loved one desperately ill? Is a job lost? Is some disaster threatening? Do not be afraid. He said, it is I. We need have no anxiety. Our future is secured by a promising God, and that promising God keeps His promises. See how it works. I know of a young pastor who became desperately ill. He had all the classic symptoms of cancer: weight loss, anemia. He didn't want to die. He'd been in the ministry only 2 years, and he had two little sons. His own father had been killed in an automobile accident when he was 9 months old, leaving him and his older brother fatherless. And it all seemed like a pattern repeating itself. It seemed such a terrible waste. An absolute fear squeezed his heart and gripped his soul. Fear like a black taste in his mouth. He tried hard to remember the promises of God that told him he didn't have to fear the future. And finally, the night before he was to go into the hospital, he got down on his knees. Dear Lord, he prayed, I can't go into the hospital this scared. God, I know You love my little boys even more than I do. I surrender them to You. I know that even if I have only a few months of ministry left, You'll bless those days and use them to Your glory. I know You'll watch over my family and keep them. So, Lord, I surrender my life to You. I don't even ask to live, dear Lord. I just ask that for my future You give me Your peace. And as that young pastor prayed, God literally reached down and put His arms around him and gave him the peace that passeth understanding, just as He had promised. And from that moment on, that young man never had another fear. After surgery, they told him he had an inoperable malignancy, but he had no fear. His future was secured. God's promises were true. In the days that lay ahead, he found God to be faithful. Even when they did surgery again 6 weeks later, and this time removed the mass, still God was true. And then weeks after that, when they finally reversed their diagnosis and said it wasn't cancer after all, still he trusted his future to God, not because he was healed, because he always believed that that was what happened, but because his future was secure, and God, who was a promising-making God, could be trusted because He kept His promises. And that's a true story, because I was that young pastor. So to our anxieties about the past that we cannot alter and the future that we cannot control, God deals with those fears for us. He recreates our past by His forgiveness. He secures our future by His promises, which He keeps. May I suggest to us this morning that as Christians in our relationship to each other, you and I must rediscover these two powers. The power to forgive each other, even for yesterday and the day before and the day before that. And the power to make and keep promises to each other. But where does such a power come from? Where does the ability to forgive spiritually and to promise, where do they originate? How can we burn those bridges behind us and press on towards the upward call of God? The answer is really simple. We cannot. That is, we cannot by ourselves. We must have an outpouring of the Holy Spirit. We must open our hearts and lives that the fire may fall upon us. Only that fire will set those bridges ablaze behind us. Only that fire will light the way that lies ahead of us. In recent months, this congregation has gone through a tough time. We've been wrestling over what to do if union between our denomination and the United Presbyterian Church occurred. And often that debate among us has been bitter and the feelings sometimes deep and intense. And sometimes wounds were created. And the only way to deal with that is to forgive one another. To change and reshape the past through forgiveness. And to promise to love one another tomorrow. To burn those bridges takes the fire of the Holy Spirit because I can't do it in my own strength. And to make promises to one another to love each other tomorrow takes the power of the Holy Spirit because I can't love you on my own. And now that union has passed both denominations, for this new denomination being created to have any future at all, we must forget the past. We must forget past attitudes, past offenses. We must put aside disappointments and hurts and slights of times past. We must change the past, burn those bridges behind us through forgiveness. And we must make promises to each other, promises by His power we keep. We must promise that by the work of the Holy Spirit within us, we will treat each other with that love and respect that we deserve. And that together we will try to build the kind of a church that God wants in our nation today. And these principles of dealing with the past and the future, with forgiving and promising, must be a part of your life and my life, in our families, husband and wife, parents and children, fellow Christians, business associates. We must seek to be the children God calls us to be. Forgiving, promising. Let me tell you about an incident in the life of a great lady whose name was Corrie Ten Boom. Corrie was stuck in a German concentration camp for years during the Second World War. Being in that camp was humiliating and degrading and depersonalizing, but one of the worst parts and one of the hardest times for Corrie Ten Boom was when the women were forced to remove their clothes and take public showers for delousing. And the guards would leer and jeer and ogle, and it was just hell for her. And after her release, she felt she had forgiven her enemies, and she preached forgiveness. One Sunday in Munich, Germany, after she had spoken on forgiveness, a man came toward her with his hand outstretched. "Ja, Fräulein," he said, "it's wonderful for Jesus. He forgives us all our sins, just as you say." Corrie's hand was frozen at her side because she recognized the face of a former guard, a face that had leered and jeered, a lecherous, mocking face of an SS guard at her old shower stall. She thought she'd forgotten. But when she met this man, she realized that deep in her heart, she had not. Ashamed and horrified, she began to pray, "Oh, Lord, forgive me, because I find I am unable to forgive." But in the very act of praying for forgiveness, she suddenly felt the forgiveness of God wash over her. Even though her own forgiveness toward this man was so poor and shabby. Then suddenly her arm at her side was unfrozen. The ice of hate had melted. And her hand went out to this man who was now her brother in Christ. In being forgiven, the Spirit gave her power to forgive. And she could change the past and burn those bridges behind her. And in strength of a promise to each other, to love as Christ loved us, she could take the hand of a brother. Isn't that what you need to do? I know I do. God has reconstructed my past by forgiveness. He has secured my future by His promises, promises He keeps. I must do the same for you. You must do the same for me. And then arm in arm, we can press on towards the upward call of God in Jesus Christ, marching arm in arm, singing, "Onward, Christian soldier." Let us pray. Lord, we really need the power of the Holy Spirit. We need for the fire to fall, to give us the strength to have forgiveness towards one another, that we can change the past and burn those bridges, and that we can promise each other to love one another, even as you loved us, and keep the promise, not in our own strength, but because the fire has fallen. Blessed be your holy name. Amen.